So if I can just start with a sound check. Okay. And now I'll start with a language check. So, thanks, Danny. So I'm going to ask if anyone wants a translation into English. So obviously I understand that might be too late, asking in English. And really my Hebrew's not up to it, but I'll have a little go, just for fun. So, Mishi Tsrikha Targum Le'ivrit. Okay. That's years of training. Okay. Well, really? No one? Okay, let's give it a shot. So, you can probably already tell I speak kind of a British English, which you may be more familiar with American English. Maybe you can translate that much in your head. I'll check in again in a little bit once you've heard some of the words I use, and we can kind of review the situation. Yeah. So, before I speak a little bit about the theme of the retreat, I'd like us just to settle in, just arrive, soften up. Let's just take a few moments, few minutes of meditation practice, which is to say a cultivation of the kind of qualities that support us to listen in to our experience. So for some of us, it might be kind of new, finding our way into meditation posture. And we'll say more about that before lunch tomorrow. We'll have like a session in here working with that. But for now, just get a sense of what might feel balanced, what might feel supported for you. Seeing if we can let the body make contact with the ground. Think about the contact. We're sitting on the floor with the buttocks on the cushion. Maybe the knees or the legs. If we're in a chair, feet grounding. The earth supporting. Body resting. Maybe there's many things we've had to do to get here, to arrive. You can put that down. Don't need to carry that. Let the face soften, the shoulders soften. That habit pattern, maybe to fix, to get better, to do this well, kind of still at play. Just letting that rest. Just enjoy the next breath. So, what are we doing here? I'll take the first answer, whatever you think. So in English, sorry about that, I think I had to come out. There might be another one. In English, this retreat is called Liberating Ways of Relating. And as with many sentences in English, but particularly the good ones, you can turn that around a few different ways. We could say liberating means freedom. Yeah, it means finding freedom, bringing freedom into being. Yeah, it's like a verb to liberate things, liberating. What does that mean for us? Kind of setting more free, less boundaries. Yeah. Could be a sense of expansiveness. You imagine you were kept in somewhere and then you're set free. And that there can be some kind of joy in there as well, that liberating kind of experience, a kind of a delight. And then liberating ways of relating, right, means that there are ways that we can relate to things, ourselves, other beings, the sounds that we're hearing. There are ways of relating that are more liberating than other ones. Yeah. So those are liberating ways of relating. We'll be looking into that over the period of time of the retreat. And the other way you could understand that sentence is that we are going to be liberating those ways of relating. Yeah, we're going to be freeing up our capacity to play with those ways of relating. Yeah, so we're gaining that skill. Okay, so they both are liberating ways of relating, and we are going to liberate ourselves into a place where we can really play and see and understand. There are so many ways I could relate to this situation, right? And that's the key of what we might call being mindful. Yeah. What we pay attention to, what we remember, that sense of possibilities. So whatever experience you're having, it's happening dependent on the way that you're relating to it. That's one of the things, yeah? Okay, so you think about a human life experience. Something's got to be in attention. You're paying attention to something, right? That's what an experience is about. You're perceiving something, so you're paying attention to that thing. And you're paying attention to it in a particular way. Okay, we might call that the way of relating to something. And you can pay attention to different things. That's how you can have different experiences. You know, you can listen to the cars on the road, or you could listen to the human being talking. It's a different experience, yeah? And you can listen to someone with a lot of criticism, and don't do that. Or you could listen to them with a lot of praise. Don't do that either, actually. And you can listen to them with a lot of kindness, you know. Your own creativity, you might switch, start listening to your own thoughts, feelings. I like that bit, didn't like that bit. This doesn't make sense. It's too bright in here. You know, those kinds of things. Staying with things. But the most significant thing for us, I think, is the way that we're relating to something. Yeah. Because we sit in that atmosphere ourselves. Yeah. When you're angry with someone, you are stewing in anger as well, yeah? When you're in love with someone, you are marinating, soaking in love yourself, yeah? That's what the experience feels like. That way that we relate is one of the most significant parts of what makes up an experience. Okay, one small humorous comment, and then I'll check if you want a translation. So, one of the ideas I have about the Buddha is that the Buddha was offering relationship advice. Yeah, you know how sometimes in the newspaper there's that person you can write to for relationship advice. You know, it's like, oh, my relationships are just not working out. Yeah, we call that dukkha, right? And here's some relationship advice. Stop being so, you know, needy, sort of grabbing onto everything that's pleasant that turns up in your experience. I'm going to get that, keep that. This is mine, my person, my thing, my role, my thing. You're like, or I'm always kind of defensive, reactive, pushing away. You know, guarding my space, not letting things get close. And so that relationship advice is like, have you tried just allowing it to be there? You know, have you brought interest? Have you brought compassion to these things? Maybe that's what they need. Yeah. So, is there anyone? What was it? Mishi Sriha Targum Leivrit. Yeah, you're following okay? Don't be ashamed. I'm not easy to understand from a native speaker. So if you want any help, it feels like it could be useful, go for it. We I think we even actually arranged it already. So, yeah, ready? Okay, I'm trusting you. Reluctantly, I'm trusting you. So with that, then what skills or what experiences, what understandings await us here? And, you know, Zohar invited you to share what are your intentions? What are the qualities you want to see more of? And in a way, we could ask those questions, you know, what is it you want to grow? What do you want to plant the seeds of? What do you want to support the soil to bring into being? What do you want to water, give sunshine, bring into being? Right? And you thought for yourself, some of you called them out. I understood a few of them. They sounded really great. Let that stay alive. Like right now, when you think about that quality, does it feel near or far? Is it actually near or far? Is it actually a way of relating to your experience, inner and outer? Can it actually be that? Is it actually something you can step towards? Yeah. Is it freeing? Is it a liberating way of relating? Is that why you picked it? Yeah, probably it is. Probably it is. So keep them in mind, being present with them, sustaining presence for them. Is it for them? And then, you know, seeing, relating through them. That could be it. That could be your meditation. That could be your main guiding quality here. So that through that way of relating, you bring more compassion, more peace, more joy, more understanding. Maybe that intention we spoke about, maybe that's the goal. Maybe that's the end. Maybe. You know, maybe it's the path there. You know, it's the path towards freedom. And actually, maybe it's both. Maybe there isn't really that distinction. It doesn't really hold up. Yeah, there isn't like a particular path that's actually very different than the goal. Yeah. There was a very, very inspiring activist who was protesting against the Vietnam War in America. His name is A.J. Must. And he had this saying that there is no way to peace. But peace is the way. Yeah. You can't fight for peace. Yeah. Say the same, there's no way to love. Love is the way. No way to happiness. No way to freedom. Freedom is the way. The way that step by step, drop by drop, yeah, we journey together. That this path is actually made of walking our intentions for the goal. And the path is made by walking. You may know that poem, Spanish poem, by Antonio Manchada, you know, Pathmaker. you make the path by walking. We're path makers in alignment with those intentions. We could say that the way is expressed by holding that goal in our hearts and minds. Holding that freedom in our hearts and minds, that the way gets expressed. So over this retreat, we're going to have three ways that we might be kind of diving into this practice. One of those, so broadly, you know, they're ways of relating. And the first one is kind of like ways of knowing our experience. One of our teachers that's very significant for all of us and for many of you in the hall as well, Rob Babea, would talk about ways of looking, ways of conceiving, ways of knowing our experience, ways of understanding. And we could say this kind of knowing of two sorts here. One is knowledge, understanding in those ways, and the other is actually how we know, how we conceive, what we think a thing is, thinks it into being in a particular way. Another way of is this kind of way of relationship, way of relating, which we might place within experiences like metta, sometimes called loving kindness or just kindness, which sits within a larger thing called the Brahma-viharas, which are, you know, realms of the gods, abodes of the gods, literally. Beautiful qualities of the heart that opens in kindness, that opens in compassion, in care, opens in appreciation, taking joy in what's beautiful. Yeah. And also celebrating when others receive good fortune. And also has this quality of what we were just establishing in the meditation, this intimacy with experience, and also somewhat stability, somewhat of a balance. And these beautiful qualities of the heart are really lovely ways of relating to the world. You know, just to give the most maybe kind of immediate example is that sometimes you see that someone's getting some good experience and then you start feeling bad. And it's like being on a seesaw with someone. You know, it's like, oh, they've gone up and now I've gone down. And then we just can flip it and say, oh, that's really great. I'm actually really happy that you're happy. And we get to have their happiness with them, sharing that together and that appreciation, that joy, that kind of lifting up. Or that something painful happens in the world for someone, and we start to shut down. Maybe we feel ashamed that it's happening. And then there's that alternative to step forward and be caring, be open, be sensitive. So we see that there are ways of relating, ways of being, ways of conceiving that lead to dukkha and distress. So one of those conceptions we can have is that things are substantial from their own side, they really are this way, or that they are constant. If this pain comes up, I've got to get rid of it, otherwise it'll last forever. If this delightful thing appears, I should grab hold of it, make it last, keep it. And different ways of conceiving, different ways of holding that, allow things to move through. Through those ways of relating, we can give up ways that cause distress, isolation, separation. Let love, the openness of heart, the kindness, the beauty come through us. Yeah, it's not so mysterious. We know that in our experience. We can just question, how far can that go? How freeing can that be? And this third way is what we feel as the kind of felt sense. How we feel it in the body, in the energetics, even in the awareness. This felt sense of contraction, of tightness at times. We don't want to be in our own skin. difficult to show up. And then we work and we play and we delicately adjust ways of releasing or ways of energizing when there's dullness. And there's possibilities of shaping our experience through this, through the energetics. It's quite remarkable what's possible for us to do here. And also when, you know, we're relating well or we're seeing well, we'll also feel well. Yeah, these three are not separate, like they co-arise. You see well, you relate well, and you feel well. Yeah, you feel more gathered, feel more harmonized, feel more aligned. And when you don't feel well, you don't feel harmonized, you don't feel aligned, you start to see in ways. Maybe you get more desperate, grabbing on, pushing, pulling, seeking satisfaction in places that just don't serve us. That's dukkha. That's distressing. It's unpleasant. Maybe it's painful. It's when our view of ourselves and of the world becomes limited, restricted. And so then what are we going to do then when that experience comes about? We could just say, oh, well, that happens sometimes, but it usually passes. Yeah. Or we could say, oh, what's actually conditioning this to be this way? And so this is one of the really great gifts of these teachings, is that dukkha, the very unpleasant experience of dukkha, is more conditioned. There are more conditions coming into being to make this way. Yeah, you can see it in your own experience. Yeah, because if you actually release and relax, it's not quite as bad as it was. Yeah, you're going to release that part, builds it up a little bit less. Dukkha is a more built up, more contracted, more tense, less skillful, less light, less delightful, less expansive experience. So this is actually good news, right? It means, I'm having a difficult time. There must be a lot of conditions going into this. Yeah. The Buddha Dharma, they say, you know, all conditioned things are dukkha, which sounds kind of problematic, but then we can take that like a maths equation, just like start moving the pieces around, say all dukkha experiences are conditioned. Yeah, that's actually maybe the more freeing way to phrase it. The other way sounds that all the conditioned things are rubbish. Don't ever have a conditioned experience. They're just not worth it. And everyone you love is conditioned, and you know, so we're not going to go there right now. Maybe later, when we feel more fun, we'll go there. But for now, all dukkha experiences are conditioned. What's conditioning it to be this way? And so those three ways of relating are suggesting at least three avenues of exploration. Is there something about the way I'm conceiving, thinking, knowing about my experience that's causing it to be this way? Yeah, could come to that later. Quite a deep question, but we're going to be exploring it on the retreat. Is there something in the way that I'm relating to this? Maybe a lack of kindness, a lack of compassion, a lack of appreciation and delight, a lack of sensitivity and spaciousness. Yeah? Maybe that feels kind of more immediate. It's, oh, yeah, there is a lack of kindness. Definitely. Lack of appreciation. Not open. Not enjoying. Is there a lack of harmonization? Is there a lack of being gathered and present? Yeah. Even if I just soften the muscles, invite the muscles in the face, the shoulders, the belly, to soften a little bit, is there as much dukkha? So in a sense, what we're doing here is just having more of the more. so that we're less limited, less contracted, and less bound into patterns of behavior that we've picked up along the way. And the last thing I want to say for tonight is that, you know, this Dharma path is really rich with possibilities. Yeah. And I hope that one of the gifts that we'll get from this retreat is more and more confidence in ourselves to be able to shape our experience towards those qualities that we wish to see in the world. Yeah. So whatever it is that you wish for there to be more of, whatever it is that you wish to plant the seeds for, I want you to be able to do that. And you want to be able to do that. The whole world wants you to be able to do that. There's this middle way, this confidence is this middle way between thinking that we're in control, you're not, thinking you have no control, right, which you don't. But you can contribute, you can participate. Yeah. You are contributing, you are already participating. There's never a moment that you're not conditioning your experience. It's only a question of in what way, with what atmosphere, what way of relating are you bringing to your experience now? The way you're listening, the way you're holding the body. It's contributing to your experience. It's contributing to how the world appears to you. It's like you're some kind of magician. Let's just have a moment together, cultivating what it is you wish to see in the world. Thank you for your listening, and take from this what feels helpful and leave the rest behind. We will open tomorrow with some suggestions, mostly around these ways of feeling, ways of sensing, ways of being, and supporting a more spacious way around what can get tied and contracted, and also support us to be able to come closer to our experience. Yeah. And more space actually allows us to come more close. Yeah. A kind of intimacy with our experience, be so supportive with a bit of expansion around it. And now we'll take about half an hour for some walking practice. So you can make it up yourself, but a suggestion around it can be a lot of our practice is around stillness, standing, sitting, maybe reclining. And then walking can be this opportunity for actually experiencing aware attention in movement. So being present with that feeling of the body moving on the earth, the feeling of the weight, pressure, the contact, the lifting, the placing. And maybe with that, letting the qualities of kindness, qualities of delight and appreciation, and be present there as we do it. Maybe it's a wonderful gift to be able to walk under the stars in community. And you're allowed to enjoy yourself just a little bit. Anyone found enjoying themselves a lot will be asked to leave. You know that. You know, don't overdo it. But yeah, you can enjoy just the feeling of walking, of moving. We'll take some time for that, and then we'll come back for the last stillness practice at 9 o'clock.